You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by one as the Holy Spirit leads according to His wonderful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the Produce Place. The Amazing Grace, yes, that's the Produce Place, is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, excuse me, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, and you will see me 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The great man of God, Elkanah, has taken his beloved Hannah with their son Samuel up to the temple where the Ark of the Covenant is, to a place called Shiloh. Hannah had promised to give her son back to the Lord to serve him, so they have left him there. Shiloh is a very prophetic word. It means the gift of God, and it means the man of peace. Who is the gift of God? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, Jesus. So Shiloh is very prophetic, and it's very prophetic of the second coming of Jesus, and we'll get back to Shiloh. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, the Lord calls you once, the Lord calls you twice, the Lord calls you thrice. The Lord calls you once, the Lord calls you twice, the Lord calls you thrice.
Verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli.
He served him there. Now Eli was the judge of Israel, and he was also the priest. God wanted a theocracy. He always wanted a nation so there was no difference between the politicians and the priests. They were all to love God and obey God's word. And so the judge would lead the people according to the scriptures. However, Eli, being the high priest, had two bad sons in the priesthood there, Hophni and Phinehas. And so we're going to hear more about their judgment.
And the word of the Lord was precious in those days.
The word precious in the Hebrew is valuable. The reason it was valuable, because that nation knew that without the word of God, they were chopped liver. They were sunk. A nation without the word of God is a defeated nation.
Amen. There was no open vision.
The reason there was no open vision, that means revelation of the Lord, because those two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were profaning the temple. They were ripping off the people and having sexual orgies in the temple, so God was not going to pour out His Spirit upon them. A nation without vision perishes. In other words, without vision, the people perish. You need a revelation in a nation.
Amen. Verse 2. And it came to pass in that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see.
All this means it was getting dark and time to go to bed. So Eli's going to close his eyes, but it has a spiritual meaning. He's also not seeing clearly spiritually, because he has not been firm with his sons to do the right thing before God. Be very careful, Christian. You see physically. It would be much better if you saw spiritually, because God is a spirit, and you're a spirit, and he's the king, and you're in the kingdom.
Verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was.
Now, in the temple there was the ark of the covenant. That was where God was. In front of the ark of the covenant, the Holy of Holies, we studied that in Hebrews, was the menorah, the candle of the Lord. And the candles had oil in them. And when it got sundown, which is sundown now, time to go to bed, young Samuel would go and light those candles. You are the light of the world. The world is covered with darkness. Let your light shine.
Amen. And Samuel was laid down to sleep.
Young Samuel goes down to sleep too. Nighty-night, everybody.
Verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel.
Oh, the Lord called Samuel. Okay. Now, the Lord calls everyone. This is not very dramatic. You were called if you are saved, wants to be saved. The first call is for salvation. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, for anyone listening to me, if you're not saved, I'm going to give the Lord a chance to call you and get you saved before this program's over. So if you're saved, that is your first calling. Now, that's good, but it doesn't stop there.
And he answered, here am I. Verse 5, and he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me.
Now Samuel did not know that it was the Lord. He thought that Eli was calling him. If you are saved, when you got saved, you didn't know that the Lord had ordered someone to be before you, or ordered your steps to go somewhere so you could hear the word of the Lord. You did not know that. You did not realize that God was calling you. But when you heard the word and the truth, you confessed, you repented, and you were saved.
And he said, I called not. Lie down again.
Eli said, I didn't call you. Go to sleep.
And he went to lay down.
Okay, back to bed.
Verse 6. And the Lord called yet again.
Now the second calling for you, first is salvation, the second is sanctification. That means you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why is sanctification important after salvation? Because the Holy Spirit seals your salvation until the day of redemption, until you're actually perfect in your spirit body. And see, a lot of times people will pray the prayer of salvation, but they never are sanctified, and it might have just been mental. It might have just been kind of remote saying it there. Sanctification is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, very important. This seals your salvation. This is the next thing that should happen to you after you are really saved. Why? Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're saved, but then you must be sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, to some extent, every time you get saved, the Holy Spirit of Jesus comes to live in you. But that's not sanctification. That's just a salvation. That's baby stage. That's why the Bible says, be filled. In other words, from then on in, the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead everything about your life. That's sanctification. That's the second calling.
Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli.
Notice he called his name Samuel this time. The first time, the Lord called him. The Lord did not make you get saved. He gave you free choice except the elect. But God put somebody in your path to witness to you and you got saved. But this is more intense. The sanctification means that you are set apart for holy use. Everybody's got some place to be. You're set apart for holy use somewhere in the church. And that's why he calls your name. Samuel means ask of God, heard of God.
I said, here am I, for thou didst call me.
Sir, you did call me.
And he answered, I called not my son.
Notice Eli says my son. There had to be a father-son bond between them, because Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were supposed to be the priests, but there was no bond there. Hophni and Phinehas were actually blaspheming against God, and Eli did love the Lord, so there had to be a bond. So go back to sleep, son.
Lie down again. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord.
Now the word know here in the original Hebrew means ascertain by seeing. Ascertain by seeing. Ascertain means to make perfect, exact, precise. Now it's not saying seeing God because he is a spirit. It means to be aware spiritually of the manifest presence of God, of the voice of God. He didn't yet know that. He had been serving. He had not moved into that sanctification realm yet.
Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him.
Now at that time, Jesus had not yet come to pay our sin debt and died, arose from the dead, and went back and sent the Holy Spirit. Now, every Christian who's really saved, most of you don't go the second step, but you can be sanctified and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There will be a difference in you, no matter how old or tired you are. There will be a vitality, and you will speak with his language, and you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. But at that time, the Holy Spirit was not in the people. It would only come to the appointed priests. But it wasn't in Hophni and Phinehas. The Holy Spirit just left them. I mean, forget it. There was no word of God there coming through anybody for the nation. Whew.
Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time.
Oh, the third time. Now, your first time was salvation. Your second time is sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in his lungs and being led by his tongue, and speaking and being led by the Holy Spirit. The third call is for surrender. You surrender to serve. You surrender to serve. Every human being right now, all of you are saved. There is a purpose for your life. You are called to be a minister of reconciliation. See, most of you say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to join the military. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to get married. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to have fun. That is not what he said. There is a purpose written in a book for each one of you. And that is why you are here. That is your purpose. Now, some of you already know what that purpose is, and you're not paying any attention to it. You are delaying, and that is in trouble there. But each one of you, the third one is, I've got something for you to do. Surrender, surrender, surrender to serve.
And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me.
Mr. Eli, you did call me. I heard you three times.
And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child.
Thank goodness. Eli now is beginning to see spiritually. Now, when you know that you're called, God's going to put somebody in your path with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a man or woman with the word of God, and they're going to say to you, do you have a calling on your life? And they're going to say, there's something for you to do. You're called, you're called, you're called. You might just call them on the phone and they say, whew, you got a calling on your life. Now, Eli's going to realize that God is calling Samuel. Who's that person that told you, you got a calling on your life? That ought to wake you up and shake you up and get busy so you'll do it.
Amen.
Verse 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.
Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.
So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times.
Now God is a spirit. When he came and he stood, it doesn't mean there was a body there. It means the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. Shekinah, his presence, the manifest presence of the Lord. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness in the promised land, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. At night, they had to camp out there. And it was desert. It would get very, very cold. And also, there were wild animals there. So they would park the Ark of the Covenant. And God, who is a consuming fire, would come and stand there and keep them warm all night and keep the beasts away. The Shekinah glory of God will stand and anoint a person, a place, a location, a nation. Wednesday night, right here, the Shekinah glory of God filled this place. The presence was here in awesome. Amen. And when you are sanctified, it'll never happen until you're sanctified. When you've totally surrendered the third one, here am I, Lord, send me. Then the Spirit of the Lord God will be upon you. And wherever you go, the Lord will be with you. He stands there.
Samuel.
Notice he says it two times this time. First time, salvation, Lord. Second time, he called your name, sanctification. Third time, surrender to serve. Twice, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. You heard it once, you heard it again. That same man or woman God called you keeps telling you, you're in a new place now. You need to do something. You need to move. You need to move. Don't wait till your ducks are in a row. Move. Get up. Do it.
Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth.
Wow. Bless his heart.
Verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle.
Tingle means the whole nation is going to be astonished. God says, I'm about to shake up the priesthood. I'm about to shake up the nation. Hebrews 12 says here at the end of the age, and we are here, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. I've got friends in all nations all over the world. God bless you. I love you. Your nation shaken, our nation shaken. So God shakes people to wake them up.
Verse 12, and that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house.
Now remember in chapter 2 last time that God sent a prophet to Eli and said, because your sons Hophni and Phinehas have profaned my temple, ripping the people off, I'm going to cut off the priesthood from your family forever. Now there will always be a priesthood. It started with Aaron, the tribe of Levi, and his first two sons, Nadab and Abihu, got killed because they didn't do it right. Ithamar, that's Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, is going to be killed. But there's one more left, Eleazar. So there will always be a remnant of the priesthood. But this house is going to be cut off, this lineage. Eli knew that. He just didn't know when it was going to happen.
When I begin, I will also make them end.
God is very patient, long-suffering. But there's a point when God has a nation, which is a Christian nation, and a people, a Christian people, when the corruption takes over the government and the corruption takes over the ministry, God says, that's it. I've had enough. Stop.
Verse 13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever.
I told Eli, so Eli knew that.
For the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile.
In the Hebrew, vile means a curse, or they cursed God. The Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the original Hebrew Bible, says they cursed God. Now, at that point, that's the Old Covenant. We did not have Luke 12, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which now is almost the equivalent. They were blaspheming God. They cursed God. Now we have the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is the unforgivable sin. When elect, we're the elect. We're living right now. Not everybody's elect, but this remnant, this generation alive right now, the Antichrist is about to come, the devil calling himself Christ. When the elect are delivered up to him, if we do not let the Holy Spirit speak in that tongue like Pentecost Acts 2, that is unforgivable. So that's what, basically, under the Old Covenant, Hophni and Phinehas had done. They had cursed God.
And he restrained them not.
Eli was at fault here. He should have disciplined his sons. As you're saved, as you're sanctified, as you surrender to serve and be whatever he wants you to be, you must discipline yourselves. In discipline, there is freedom. To be a disciple of Jesus means you're disciplined. You must discipline yourself in the Word of God. You don't just hear it, you live it. It's in you. You just live by the Word of God. Amen. You discipline yourself to pray in the Spirit. You know not how to pray as you ought. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you discipline yourselves in the Word, in prayer, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit. A disciplined life. Discipline, discipline, discipline. Amen. And discipline, there's freedom.
Amen. Verse 14, and therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli.
When God says sworn, it means he made a vow. God has laws, and he won't break the laws. He won't break his own vow. He's a law of gravity. That's why we're not floating around the place, okay? He's got a law of reciprocity. Whatever you give out comes back to you multiplied. All of us are reaping something we've sown somewhere along the way. And so he has a law here. He won't break his own word. That's why it's so wonderful. The Bible is God's word, and you can trust every word of it. You can take it to the bank. He doesn't break his word.
Yeah. The iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice or offering.
In other words, before Jesus came, they did the animal sacrifices, the blood for the forgiveness of sins. No, it was too late. They had cursed God. And you see, there is a point that you can say no, 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 no to salvation, no to sanctification, no to surrender, and there's no more forgiveness.
Forever.
Forever.
Verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning.
Bless his little heart. He didn't even get to sleep then. Now, in your third calling, you're going to be temporarily uncomfortable, because before that, you could see how much money you had. You could see the people around you. You could see the job. You could see the business. You could see it. You could see it. You could see it. And you felt secure. He told me to start a school. I jumped out of bed with $45 and I moved. Is that uncomfortable? But guess what? He always provides. You got to get out of your comfort zone. If you're going to wait till you've got the money, you've got everything in a row, you'll never do it. It's going to be too late, too late. Ichabod, too late. Amen. You have to move, move, move now toward what he's told you to do. Now is the time. Tomorrow's too late.
And open the doors of the house of the Lord.
Well, he got up and did what he always did. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord. That's what you do. Wow. I'm sitting here. I'm listening to Sherry, but I'm getting nervous.
And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision.
It was very uncomfortable for him. The third one is too hard for you, but that's why you're going to do it. Because you live, yet not you. Christ lives in you. You of yourself do nothing. The Father within, he doeth the work. You just let him live his life in you. Everything is too hard. It's uncomfortable, you say. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. I got to wait until I get organized. You're never going to do it. You move right now.
Verse 16. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I.
I imagine, here am I.
Verse 17. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee?
Sounds like somebody else woke up and didn't go to sleep. You see, now Eli perceives, he remembers the prophecy that God was going to kill his two sons and stop the priest line from that family, but he's got to know it.
I pray thee, hide it not from me.
Don't you keep it from me.
God, do so to thee, and more also, if I hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee.
Eli's using some psychology on Samuel. He knows this young lad loves Eli, and Samuel won't want to hurt his feelings. He knows this is hard for him. So he's saying that what God said he's going to do to me in my house, he'll do to you if you don't tell me. That's not true. He just said, Samuel, you've got to tell me. I know it's hard for you. See, You know perfectly well, most of you in this room know there's another place for you to be. I'm not talking about a location, but another place in the spirit. And you keep waiting. Your ducks are never going to get in a row. Somebody's got to say, you better get up and do it. Move it now.
Verse 18. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him.
How could this young boy remember everything that God had said? Now, God speaks in different ways. He speaks through an anointed man or woman. He's speaking to some of you now. I know you're getting nervous. He speaks through the Word of God. But God also speaks audibly. When God speaks audibly to you, it is a Hebrew word, miktam, engraved in stone. You'll never forget it. You can hear the inflections, the way he said it. It's there, it's there, it's there. You'll remember every word forever.
And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good.
Bless Eli's heart. He now becomes a type of Jesus. Jesus is not only our king, he's our priest. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was sweating drops of blood. He was about to go to the cross to take all of our sins. And he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. Now Eli becomes a type of Jesus. Nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. Once you give up your will, you'll be the happiest person in the world. The reason some of you are miserable is because you're on the fence.
Verse 19, and Samuel grew.
Samuel grew. You grow by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now you're going to grow. You're not going to stop there. That's your third call, but it's going to be growing. You grow from glory to glory to glory. I am closer to God today than I was yesterday, and you're supposed to be the same way. You never get enough of God. It's just awesome how he is. There's more and more and more and more, and you grow and you grow and you grow. A new vision, new revelation. Hallelujah.
And the Lord was with him.
And the Lord was with him. And now because you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in you and upon you. The Holy Spirit guides you every area of your life and guides you into all truth.
And it let none of his words fall to the ground.
Because now Samuel is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's sealed to God, and now he is a prophet of God. And he speaks the word of God. Once you go past that third fence there, that third gate, your whole conversation changes. You don't talk about sickness. You don't talk about weariness. You talk the word of God. When your body hurts, you say the word of God, not what the doctor says. Your bank account's low, you say what God says about money. You say word, word, word. It is your conversation because the word is in you and the word is taking over. Word, word, word. And Jeremiah chapter 1, God watches over his word and performs it. So when you get there, your conversation is the word. Everything about your life, you're running by the word.
Amen. Verse 20, and all Israel from Dan unto Beersheba.
Dan represents the northern border of Israel, and Beersheba is the southern border. Boy, all the nation knew
that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord.
A prophet is a seer, S-E-E-R. They see the spiritual realm. When they pray for you, you say, pray that this will happen, and they see something more for which they should pray. A prophet is an anointed speaker. They speak the word of God with the anointing of Holy Spirit. So now, Samuel is a prophet to the nation.
Verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh.
Now there is Shiloh. We're coming back to Shiloh.
For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord.
Remember, Shiloh means gift of God and the man of peace. Now, in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, Jacob, whose name was Chaser Israel, was blessing all of his sons, and he blessed Judah. Judah is the king line, through whom King David came, and finally Jesus came through the Virgin Mary. Judah is the king line. And he said, Genesis 49, verse 20, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come, and unto him shall all be gathered. Speaking of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, there were 12 tribes of Israel, and they split. Two of themselves called themselves the house of Judah. That's tribe Benjamin and Judah. And they stayed there a little while in Jerusalem. And that's the king line. And they kept having kings, and that was right. King, 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 men, king. The other 10 tribes called themselves the house of Israel. They were captured by Sennacherib, migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, and settled Europe, Scotland, Ireland, and England. But way back over there in Jerusalem, the last king of Judah was captured by Nebuchadnezzar and killed. His name was Zedekiah and all of his sons. So Jeremiah the prophet said, oh Lord, God says it's always going to be someone until Shiloh comes. And Jesus hadn't even come yet. So he found out Zedekiah had some little daughters. Ezekiel calls them poetically the tender twigs. One was named Scotia and one was named Asa. So he picked up the little daughters. The seed of their father was in them, Judah, the king line, and caught up with the 10 northern tribes to marry them so the king line could be continued. But when he took them, he also carried with him Jacob's stone, the stone of destiny. He took the stone with them. And first of all, they put the stone in Scotland. And then when they started marrying these girls to keep the king line coming, they took her to England. Every king and queen of England, including Queen Elizabeth, has taken the coronation over that stone of destiny. Some years ago, Scotland stole it for a prank, and it's been moved there. Now, Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 27, God is speaking of that stone. He says, I will move it three times. I will overturn it. I will overturn it. I will overturn it until he who's right shall come and sit upon it, until Jesus comes. It was moved from Jerusalem to Scotland, from Scotland to England. It's been moved from England back to Scotland. Now, Queen Elizabeth just went to heaven. Charles is not yet the king. I heard that they're planning to coronate him over that stone. That would be the fourth movement. The Bible says no, on May. That's 7 months. Now, we know the Antichrist comes before Jesus. Nobody knows the day nor the hour, but we have the seasons. And the Antichrist's time has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, Matthew 25, to what? Revelation chapter 9, 5 months. Even the 5 months could be divided into two and a half, times, times, and a half time, like Daniel. So the point is here, it is later than you think. You're called. You're called. You're called. It is time for you to move. Get up and be what God wants you to be. I pray you are blessed. Amen. Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, Man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Just great teaching tonight. Great.
Awesome
that
word.
That was an awesome word.
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Revelations 3:20.
Absolutely perfect. We did not canoe. That's the Holy Spirit. Thank you, great Scott. Before I pray for healing, let's pray for salvation. This is the first call for some of you out in cyberspace. Heed this calling. Pray this with me. Mean it with all your heart. God will save you. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away all my sins with your blood.
Wash away all my sins with your blood.
Sanctify me.
Sanctify me.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Put your language in my tongue.
Put your language in my tongue.
And put me where you want me, in your church.
and put me where you want me in your church.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord and my Savior.
Jesus is my Lord and my Savior.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone because death and life are the power of the tongue. I invite you to tell me. In a moment, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. That's my voicemail. Call me. Leave a confession on there. And when I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. Now, you want to read your Bible every day for the rest of your life. Not those little old silly devotional books with one verse and 3 points of the Bible. And you want to start with the book of John if you're a new Christian. You want to pray to the Father every day, not a little quick prayer while you're running out the door. Get your prayer place in your home. Now you may call him Father. Father, in Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit. Don't do all the talking. Listen to him. And go to church where the Word of God is taught, book, chapter, verse, and line. And not only go on Sunday, go to the midweek service because you need everything you can get. And be faithful there. And I pray that you will grow and that you'll be very, very useful to God. You also may email me. Here's my email number, S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. You may email me not only your confessions, but your prayer requests or your praise reports. No grumbling. I love all of you. And now for healing. There's some woman... There's kind of like a lump on your breast, and it's getting a little painful, and you're worried about it. In the name and the power of Jesus, cancer, I curse you at the roots. Move from that breast. Be gone into the abyss in the name of Jesus. Lump, disintegrate. He sent his word and healed you. You shall not die but live and declare the works of God. Now, there's someone with heart trouble. The heart is very heavy. There's been some pain there. In the name of Jesus, we ask the Son of Right to rise with healing in your wings. He sent his word and healed your heart. Let it beat with the perfect rhythm of God. Your heart shall live in the name and the power of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And all over the world we say, I agree in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's closer to you than hands or breathing. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater loveth this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Will you lay down your life for him? I love you too. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the Trumpet of Truth.
Prepare him. jersey.
Oh, oh, joy to the world. Joy to the world. Oh, joy to the world. The Savior reigns. Let men their songs explode. The fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
Joy to the world, then we sing.
Let the earth receive her King.
Joy to the world, then we sing.
Let the angel voices ring.
Joy to the world, then we sing. Let the men their songs employ.
Joy to the world, then we sing.
Repeat the sounding joy. Oh.
He rules the world with truth and grace. And makes the nations prove.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, oh, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. Receive it. If you can't feel it, somebody testify, testify. Saving, he's a prison shaker.
You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Strength to face the day, and in your presence all our fears are washed away, 'cause when we see you we find strength to face the day, and in your presence all our fears are washed away, washed away.
You are the God. show love when I really know how loved I am. When it overtakes me, then it